people who love them.
Hello, my friends. This is Mickey Desai. I'm today's host for this special episode of The Thing About Cars, and I'm very lucky to have Chris Duke on the line with me. Chris Duke is an American television personality and the host of the TV series Motors TV. That's Motors with a Z. Chris launched his automotive improvement show in 2008, showing viewers how to maintain their vehicles and install accessories step by step in a typical garage setting using common tools. Chris, thank you for taking the time to join us on The Thing About Cars today.
Thanks for having me on your podcast, Mickey.
Yeah, and I must admit, I don't know if this is a Georgia thing or regional or what, but Motors TV with the Z is kind of new to me. How do I find you and how do we correct that mistake?
So the website's motors.tv, but yeah, it's just Motors with an S was taken in every which way you could possibly think of. So I had to put a spin on it and come up with something different. So that's why it's Motors.
I love it.
I was actually able to get California license plates with the same thing on it too, which was interesting. Didn't think they would be available either.
Bonus.
Yeah, I know.
So I've read that you're what we're going to call an automotive influencer for GM's Buy Power card.
Yes.
What does it mean to be an automotive influencer, and what is it that makes the Buy Power card so great? If I get one, is it going to take a second off my quarter mile time?
It could. It depends on where you put the card, like left back pocket or right. We're still experimenting. We're testing that out. So I think we're going to have a report sometime in January. So basically my mission in life here with GM and Capital One is to just get the word out about this rewards credit card that they have called the Buy Power card. It is very interesting. There's a lot of different rewards cards out there. And the more I talk to people about this card, the more, they get excited about it because of what it actually offers. And I've never seen anything like it myself. So
it does seem like a pretty interesting, can I call it an incentive program, an affinity kind of program? GM seems to be pretty intent on helping people maximize their buyback power with that card.
Yeah, and so traditionally what it's allowed people to do is just use the card in your everyday purchases, and that allows you to earn towards the purchase or lease of a new GM vehicle. So that's GMC, Chevrolet, Buick, and Cadillac, right?
Right.
And for that, you actually get a pretty good percentage back for the first $5,000 per year that you spend. You get 5% of that back. So it's like, what, $250?
Right.
And then 2% unlimited for the rest of the year. And then that resets every year. So you go back to that 5%. I think that's on your annual date that you got the card. So it adds up just by spending. And so that, like I said, that goes towards the purchase or lease of the car. But that's the way it's always been. Now, recently, GM and Capital One announced that they've got some new benefits for card members. And so that's one of the reasons why they're asking me to talk about it again, like on your podcast, which is that now you can earn, you can use those earnings if you have an existing GM vehicle. So you could take it into any authorized GM dealership, and you can use that on service, parts and accessories, and any of their subscription services like SiriusXM and their OnStar system. So not only can you save towards the purchase of a new vehicle, but you can also use it for your existing GM vehicle if you've got one.
That's amazing. I have to hand it to GM. They're good at keeping people in the family.
Yeah. That is the goal, right? So...
So are you in regular touch with GM? Am I to understand that you're at a car show, or you're doing some sort of investigating into some new GM models that we could talk about?
Yeah. So I'm in Los Angeles right now. It's what is it called? Mobility Week. Mm-hmm. So it's the media week, basically. So it's the opportunity for media persons to get here and cover the show before it actually opens up to the public, because next week, I'm not sure of the date, but I know there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people that swarm the LA Auto Show, and it will be impossible to capture any photos or videos or selfies or anything with a lot of the vehicles here. So they have a few days before the show opens, or maybe it's this weekend, where media can come here and capture their thing. And so for me, it's doing interviews like this, and then also to be able to take a look to see what the current trends are popping up at the LA Auto Show. I was just at the SEMA show for a week, and that's a completely different scenario because it's all aftermarket and just crazy, crazy things. So being here at the LA Auto Show It's like just legit, straight OEM vehicles, nothing over the top with, 40-inch wheels.
Well, this leads me to another one of my questions, which is, is the car market changing? Is the aftermarket changing? I've been reading some stuff from other authors, automotive news journalists who say that the art of driving is going to go away eventually, and that we're going to see a smaller and smaller audience for people who like to drive, who like to tinker and modify their cars. And I just wondered what you thought of that sentiment. And I have my own reactions, but I'd like to hear yours.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So the aftermarket is very, very strong. I've been going to the SEMA show for, this was my 19th year in a row.
Amazing. I haven't
missed a single year. So this year it was just bonkers. So the aftermarket is doing extremely well. People still want to modify their vehicles. I think that the challenge moving forward is two things. One is the electrifying, I can't say the word, of cars, which is, they're going to be harder to modify because everything is electronic. And right. there's no longer an internal combustion engine to mess with, to tweak and put superchargers on and things like that. So it's all computer controlled. But the aftermarket is still strong too, because at least here in the U.S., the demand for larger vehicles, trucks, SUVs, crossovers, is still super, super strong, and they still want to modify them. But the other part of this too, and this has been going on for years now, is that dealerships and the OEMs are putting out these vehicles that have so much added to them. Like you can get, a brand new Chevy Silverado or GMC Sierra, whatever, with really cool big tires and wheels and all these different aftermarket things kind of built into them, which is good. They're smart. They kind of picked up that the aftermarket was that big trend and people were doing it themselves. So, if you could get that from the dealership with all those parts already on them,
yep,
and warrantied, even better. So, but yeah, I think moving forward over the next decade or so, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for these car enthusiasts like myself to modify the vehicles, because we're going to pop the hood and, well, guess what? It's just, yep, a place to put your luggage now. There's no engine. So you really can't tweak these things too much.
Right. Part of me wants to believe that where there's a will, there's a way, that, we'll take a look at electric engines and then we'll get savvy enough to mess with the programming or figure out how to squeeze, just a little bit more, a little more, not to use the pun, but squeeze a little more juice out of the system.
And, yeah, yeah.
And that I hope we do get to see those changes. But can we shift gears a little bit and talk about the car audio market? When I was reading up on you, you originally described yourself as an individual who put more money into your car's sound system than the car itself. Is that also changing? Are we seeing less and less of that these days? And is it correct to say that car audio isn't as big as it used to be?
No, car audio is still a big thing, but long gone are the days when you just go buy a car and the audio just is absolutely dreadful. And the first thing you want to do is upgrade the head unit, put in some amps and some speakers and maybe some screens and things like that. So again, like going back to what I was just saying with the aftermarket trends and with manufacturers, they're starting to build in, these 12 speakers or more sound systems with really good subwoofers and really good speakers, to the point where you crank it up and you don't want to mess with it. And then you look at the, your center console, and it's not a head unit anymore. It's not a single DIN or a double DIN car stereo there that you could just pop out and put in an Alpine. It's part of the car. And then moving forward, as we're seeing quite frequently now with the electric vehicles, that they're just big screens.
Yes.
So you can't just tweak that. But the aftermarket is pretty smart. They're pretty savvy. So they're coming up with solutions. Like we installed one in a kicker system in a vehicle not too long ago on the show that was basically an aftermarket bolt-on that improved the audio system of the vehicle without touching the head unit. So you basically plug this thing into the back, and did its own sound equalization and whatever to boost the sound and make it sound really good. And of course, you can still swap out the speakers, but messing with that receiver, the head unit as it once was called, or now it's just the infotainment system, is really becoming a thing of the past.
I'm still tinkering with a handful of used cars on my end, and Metra still has a really good footprint on selling kits to modify the entire dashboard and put in something custom. But for the newer cars, it's getting harder and harder to do. So as we said in the very beginning, your shows are very sort of down to earth, maintenance oriented, things that you can do in your garage with very common tools. Why do you suppose that doing a show like that, general maintenance kinds of shows, might get more traction than an episode with featuring high end modifications like, dropping in a supercharger or really doing some, upgraded pulleys and stuff like that in your engine?
Well, I do both. Actually, I do less maintenance episodes and more aftermarket bolt-on things. So I've done a lot of lifting and lowering vehicles from trucks to Mustangs, muscle cars in general, to car audio, to, bumpers and winches, leather seats, upgrades, things like that. There's been a few maintenance episodes. I did a small block rebuild series on the show, which was I think about 5 or 6 episodes that showed people how to go get a Chevy small block engine and basically get it machined and then bolt on all the parts on top of it. So that's kind of maintenance-y. I've done stuff on how to maintain your car for the interior and exterior, just using detailing products, things like that. But for the most part, it has been bolt on aftermarket stuff. And the one exception, again, like the small block that I was just talking about that I did like 8-9 years ago, now doing a full frame-off build of a 69 Chevrolet C10 pickup truck. So basically starting with a frame and a cab, and I don't have anything else. I need to build the truck. So I need to get all those parts and step-by-step showing people how to build a truck, be a daily driver, which will actually be my daily driver that I will have driving around town. So this is exciting what I'm doing right now, which is to do something. It's not a restoration. It's a resto mod. I don't know what classification is, but it's a full build starting with a bunch of sticks.
Right. So just the frame and a cab and building the whole thing out. That just sounds really exciting.
Yeah. Think about it. You get into a car and what do you need when you sit down? Well, first you need a seat, right? You need a steering wheel, but then you need the steering wheel column, turn signals, buttons, knobs, a radio, pedals, just absolutely everything. So it's kind of a parts nightmare, but it's fun. And I've got some good product sponsors that have stepped up and are helping out.
That is fantastic. Which leads me to my next question. What is your daily driver now?
My daily driver right now is a 2005 F-150 that has been totally done up through the show. So you can actually watch the progression and the build of that truck from the very first episode of the show.
Fantastic. Yeah. I can't wait to check it out. Do you have a favorite overall car?
You know what? I've been asked that a lot and I don't think that I do, because I like so many vehicles. I think if the question were, if you had $1 million and you could buy any vehicle on the road right now or invent something and have it created, what would it be? I don't even know what that is. It's just kind of like every single car and truck and SUV, except for the Prius, I'll admit to that. but I think most car guys are like that. And I'm having fun building a classic truck. I never thought that I'd be as into the classic truck scene as I found myself to be into right now.
So yeah,
I just love them all. I love driving. Mm-hmm. I haven't had that much experience behind the wheel of any electric vehicles, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. So I really don't have an answer to that question. I just kind of like, and I test drive a lot of cars too. A lot of OEMs drop off cars. I get them for a week and I do reviews of them. So that's another thing that I do from time to time. And so I get to experience not just test drive at a lot, driving around the street, but also, playing around with it for a week and hauling my family around to wherever we want to go. And mm-hmm. you know, I like muscle cars. I like pickup trucks. Any one in particular? No, not really. Just give me one.
Yeah, exactly. right, exactly. It's just, which one are we driving today?
Yeah.
I love it.
I'll be happy.
Yeah. So do you have a project car that you keep tinkering on every once in a while that maybe we don't get to see on the air?
No, not really. I think the F-150 is done. In fact, I'm probably going to be selling that next year after the C-10 is built. Pretty much everything that I have touched, even my wife's cars over the years, have been documented on the show once or twice. And so right now it's the C-10, and we're building that as fast as we can. All the body panels are fitted, and I've got new sheet metal, so it looks beautiful, and the majority of it's been painted. Actually, it was supposed to be at the SEMA show, but we couldn't get it. There was a little bit additional fab work on the cab that needed mm-hmm. to be done, so we didn't get it there. But so now we're just fast-tracking to get that thing finished up so that we can get the engine in there January. It'll be an LS1. Just start building the rest of it with all these great product sponsors that I've got helping me out, and then start driving the thing around and work on it some more, and then figure out what the next project's going to be.
Right. Well, my last question for you is something that may require a little bit of thought, and that is, what is your favorite comfort food?
Oh, boy. Favorite comfort food?
Comfort food.
Wow. That's a great question. there's this... I'll say this just because I was there for a week.
Yeah.
And every week that I'm in Vegas, I gravitate towards this one pizza place that's on the Link Promenade, and it's called Flour and Barley, and they have the absolute best pepperoni pizza. So I guess pizza, but in particular that one. Like, it's just absolutely incredible.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Again, Chris, thank you for taking the time to have a little bit of fun with us on this recording. We will definitely be, pointing folks towards your C10 build, and hopefully our paths will cross in the future. Please let us know if you're ever in the Atlanta area.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't been out there for a while, but I have been there once, and thanks for having me on your podcast, and I'd love to come back anytime.
Yes, sir. And to our listeners, thanks again for joining us. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you again with another episode in about a week.
This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.